welcome out there to another awesome and riveting episode of The Album Argument, a podcast where two dudes get together, trade an album, and pick the best and worst songs. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are so happy to have you on this awesome, awesome, not stormy, rainy day like it would be in Seattle, where this band is from.
Right. It's,
It rains a lot in Seattle.
It does rain a lot in Seattle.
Like and a lot.
And I really can't believe that this album is 30 years old.
Is it really?
It was released.
Nuh-uh.
Super Unknown, by Super the way. Unknown. We're talking about Super Unknown by Soundgarden.
Soundgarden,
yeah. One of the coolest band names ever, right?
It is really a cool name.
So simple. And not really like heavy, but it is.
But it is, yeah.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
And then the name of this album, Super Unknown.
That's a killer name for a record.
I mean,
like, wow.
Knocked it out of the park with both of those. Anyways, but it was released way back in March, on March 8th, 1994. Now, wow. If you look at Spotify, it does say March 9th. So it was the 8th or 9th, I will say. Some releases out there say March 8th. But anyways, that was pretty much exactly 30 years ago.
Spotify's like as a liar.
A few days ago. You know, as we're in this, second week of March?
Yep.
Right? So looking at the dates, it just kind of coincided. I've been holding on to some Soundgarden, right? It's kind of weird that we have not done some Soundgarden.
It really
based
is.
Based on what we have talked about.
Well, and I think when we covered the album, the singles album
yeah,
from the
was
movie.
A little bit.
It was like, okay, we need to do a Soundgarden record. And yeah. I'm glad you actually picked it.
And for some reason, I guess I held on to Nirvana for a while and so forth. And there's some other albums that I've held on to. So
there's so many that we need to cover still.
That's it'll keep it going. And yeah, and we're open for listener picks too.
Yep.
But so Super Unknown, it was difficult to choose a Soundgarden album. I actually wanted to do Down on the Upside for something different, which is the next album.
Yeah, that's the next one.
That one's probably the least popular. Well, actually, no, I would say probably the first few albums are the least popular. But I would say based on fan reaction, it was their last album before they broke up. And it didn't get a good rap. And the last few years I've listened to that one, I said, okay, maybe I'll do that. So maybe we'll do that again.
Yeah.
I've always liked Bad Motorfinger, which is right before that. Mm-hmm. This album, Super
which
Unknown.
Which is another really cool album name.
Bad Motorfinger. That has like, that's the bridge of Soundgarden from like the old super grunge, let's say, whatever Soundgarden, 80s Soundgarden into the 90s. So that was 91. Again, this album 30 years ago, released in 94. You know, you think about the state of music. There were already, two Nirvana albums?
Mm-hmm.
The two mainstream albums. Third, technically. But, you know, for people knowing Soundgarden, you only had Bad Motorfinger. And, you know, people listening to, let's say, Nirvana or Pearl Jam, I don't know if everybody would have listened to Bad Motorfinger necessarily. That
probably
was a
not.
Little heavier. That's more like Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Not Metallica-esque, not metal, but...
No, but, it wouldn't have gone well.
Yeah, so Super Unknown is, I'm looking back, I'm saying all this because I don't know when I got this album. It wasn't when it came out because I was 8 years old.
I remember buying this album.
You remember when it came out? On cassette or CD?
I bought this on cassette at a Best Buy with my dad.
Nice.
And I remember thinking and getting into his truck and I'm like, can we please put this on? And he put it in and the first track starts, Let Me Drown. And I'm like, I remember thinking to myself, I am a cool kid. Cause I was in fifth grade. I'm like, this album automatically rocks.
And I'm sure your dad was thankful. Like, yes, thankful. Thank God he's not listening to what was pop at the time.
I don't know. You remember, I'm going to go ahead and share this story with you. You remember, when we covered Green Day's Dookie and I told the story that my dad took the tape away from me.
He
told me I could get it back once I understood the lyrics. Well, I finally, ladies and gentlemen out there listening, I finally got it back after 30 years.
Thanks to this podcast.
He finally, my parents are moving and stuff and they're packing things up. And he's like, oh, hey, by the way, here's your Green Day Dookie tape.
Which is also 30 years old this year. And they're touring on that too, based on the thing. That's funny.
There it is. There's the tape. I'm finally mature enough to get.
Do you understand the lyrics is a question.
No, not at all.
Well, I will take that cassette back.
Yeah. Oh, no. But I thought I was a cool kid because, you know, here I am listening to Green Day and I'm listening to Soundgarden. I'm like, wow, music is awesome. And then right after this, I would start listening to The Offspring Smash, you know, which is, in my opinion, one of the greatest records out there. And this all came out around that same time. What a time. It was amazing.
Yeah. What a time. Yeah, I was just getting into this type of music. Like, yeah. I think I got into Dookie when it came out a little bit. And so, yeah, I don't know when I got this, but just thinking about, like, the state of music at the time, like, this seems like it came out a little later. Like, I always feel like this yeah. album was, like, 91 or 92.
Yeah,
and when
me
you
too.
Look at this, you go, wait, 94? Like, mm-hmm. Nirvana, it was only, like, a month later that yep. Kurt Cobain died. You know, then it kind of shifted music after that and so forth. So this, it would have been interesting kind of
totally
kind of going back in time and seeing this. But anyways, this was Soundgarden. This was their fourth studio album on A&M Records. It was produced by Michael Beinhorn. There's a cool video, multiple videos of him talking about this album, but they break it down. They play like individual tracks from this album. Mm-hmm. Super cool. And he talks about how they recorded it. Also recorded by Jason Corsero and mixed by the Brendan O'Brien, which mixed the 90s, O'Brien. Basically. It went 6 times platinum. So that's what, 6 million at least.
That's awesome.
In the U.S. Won the Grammy for Best Metal Performance, Spoon Man.
Yep.
And Best Hard Rock Performance for Black Hole Sun.
It also won some MTV awards.
Yeah, like, yeah.
For Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, various other awards.
It's a crazy music video. Like,
yeah.
Really, really wild. I think even it still stands the test of time. That music video was freaky then. It's freaky now.
Very 90s. Yes. Yeah, very the imagery and the kind of has the analog.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not the blur, but it's not so focused, and it's kind of like the Blind Melon type music video. Anyway, so yeah, I remember seeing that. That was all over MTV at the time when they actually played music videos. Of course, Soundgarden, since we haven't done Soundgarden, I should say, Chris Cornell, vocals, guitar, and most of the lyrics for the most part. He co-writes some. Lead guitar is Kim Thiel, and then Ben Shepherd on bass, and Matt Cameron. On drums. And it's pretty cool because this album, they talked about it in various articles. The band contributed a lot. So if you look online, the majority of the songs are written by Chris Cornell, but Matt Cameron has a few, Kim Thiel has a few, Ben Shepherd has a few. It's a good band input, right? So yeah. I appreciate this. And you can kind of hear it. Some of the songs sound a little different.
Yes, you can.
And then the next album, even more so. I mean, if you know Soundgarden or if you don't know, I mean, they're very rhythmic. A lot of motives, the reoccurring themes, they're very rhythmic. Different time signatures.
That's what I was going to talk about, is time signatures.
But just very, it's very catchy, but also heavy, very big vocals, of course. Chris Cornell is one of the best vocalists of all time.
Yep.
Big solos by Kim. I mean, the bass is always great up by Ben. The drums, of course, Matt Cameron, who now is in Pearl Jam. He writes for them, you know, a few songs every album or so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's it wouldn't be Soundgarden with each one of these members. And I never got to see them live. Did you ever see them live?
Nope.
I meant to when they were touring again, because I was sad. They broke up, like, I think 97, just after Down on the Upside. I was like, I'll never see them. And then they got back together. And then, of course, unfortunately, Chris Cornell.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
I know you know this album because I know you have your dad probably liked this album too.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I always knew that Soundgarden was in your family. And I just decided as I listened to this one, I go, okay, this is the one that, not to say most people would like, but of course it's got Black Hole Sun, Fell on Black Days. I feel like I even hear My Wave here and there, maybe on the radio. Super Unknown, somewhat popular. Of course, Spoon Man. I should say that. And all the other songs, I think out of the 15 songs, I will say probably 13 are really good. And there's a reason for that.
I think this album could have been 10 songs.
So
I won't go too much into it, but I honestly think this album could have been cut off at 10.
So maybe 10 or 11. So I would say, there's two that I would say that I think other people like that I don't always like. But anyways, there's two that definitely I would cut. But reading articles, feedback from the band at the time, they were saying, with the production, they just decided they didn't really want to, I don't know if it's make each other mad or whatever, they just didn't want to cut songs. So it is pretty long. It's
15
minutes.
I can appreciate that.
So they just kind of just threw it all out there. There might still be some outtakes or B-sides, but it's pretty long. But I would say, going back to this, like compared to all the other albums, now I think Down on the Upside is as well. This one and Down on the Upside, the majority of the album is good.
Yeah.
I would say Bad Motorfinger and Before, like I like songs and I like the idea of Soundgarden.
Yes.
But I think these two albums, even the one that they came out with a few years ago.
Yes.
Is pretty cool too as an album. I think they got into that more than the 80s sound. So I just appreciate the kind of progression. If you haven't heard Soundgarden, go listen to all of it and you'll probably hear what I'm hearing, or maybe you just love all of it. So Ryan Stroud, what are your takes or picks for best and worst?
This is one of those records that is like, it's legendary because it has so many like of the best songs of the band. You know, like when you think of the band as a whole, what would be their best song, then their next best song, then their next one. They all come from this record. They really do.
Pretty much, yes.
I mean, of course, yes. There are good songs on other albums, but their top known songs are on this record, which is really cool. But that's why I say like they should have cut it off at a certain point. And I can totally understand why they would put other people's songs on there too, not to want to, you know, cross anything or make anybody mad. But
and also at the time, you know, they were part of the Seattle sound, but I don't know, were they even focused or worried about cutting it down and worried about
probably not
mainstream, right? I mean, no, they were coming, not. They were around before like a Pearl Jam and Nirvana that, yeah. You know, they were already established. They were one of the first ones to get signed in Seattle, yep, out of that scene. So they were just doing their thing and they just kind of struck gold. So it makes sense in context.
You know, and so I'll talk about, you know, the songs I feel like are the best. I mean, Let Me Drown. Oh my gosh, it's a great song. It's a great opener to the record. There's the riffs. The album has so many good riffs, just like simple guitar riffs that are just like awesome though. And some of them really are simple, but get made into something really cool.
But don't try to play them because they got some weird tunings.
They really do.
So if you just pull up the guitar, it's not going to sound like the riff.
My Wave is cool. Of course, Black Hole Sun is legendary. You know, we already talked about that. I'm going to move past it. Spoon Man. Oh, my goodness. The song's got a spoon solo. That's flipping awesome. That's so cool.
And I think that's why I did this album, because we did talk about singles, and yeah, it was kind of an outtake, or written for and inspired by singles. So that I said, okay, I knew you like Spoon Man. So yes, I wanted you to talk about this 7/4 hit. How many hits are written in 7/4?
Seriously. The time signatures on this whole album are just bonkers. And the fact that they can pull it off with ease, because they really do. They pull it off with such good ease.
Yeah, you don't even notice, like maybe you're bobbing your head. But you're kind of, every once in a while, you know, but Matt Cameron just holds it down. I would say thanks to a great drummer.
Yep. So for me, it comes down to two songs that are the best. The Day I Tried to Live and Fell on Black Days. And those are my top two tracks. It's so hard to pick between them. It really, really is. I went back and forth multiple times. I've heard this record probably close to 300 times, you know, like, so I didn't have to go back and listen to everything. I already knew what I was going to want. So I'm going to go ahead and say my honorable mention is The Day I Tried to Live and Fell on Black Days is my pick for the best song. I just love the dynamics of the vocals, and I love like the tired frustration that is also in the song with him, his playing, the singing, everything. It just, I can feel it. Like I can feel his grief, but not, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. It's just beautiful. I love this song. And again, The Day I Tried to Live, that's a good song too. Really close. Like they are so neck and neck and it's hard to pick. But if I had to pick one that I'm going to go to the grave with, it's Fell on Black Days. I love it.
Nice. Yeah, I think, Fell on Black Days, it's 6/4 going. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's how many hits are in 6/4. It's played a lot. I like listening to it now. You hear like the vocals very up front.
Yep.
Like, it's very 90s. This is when 90s kind of went dry, let's say, and kind of out of the sound of the big 80s. Like, 91 was still kind of big sounding, but this is very, I mean, it's roomy sounding, but the vocal is just right there, and it's great. So it's a great production. Again, Michael Beinhorn, thank you. It's awesome. They actually talked about the next album. I think they went away from him because they said he would just, like, made them work at it so much. And that's why it's cool, though, when you listen to behind the scenes, he's into tones and all of that. And when you talked about Dashboard last week about saying, you know, it's awesome they have that kind of picture of what the band was at the time. It's so nice that we have this picture of Soundgarden because, the guitars on this song, too. Like, the vocals are great.
Wow.
But then the guitars, they're like butter.
Yes.
I say. Like, they just, it matches. It mixes. It's good. It's a good pick.
This album is just glorious. It's just such, it's not a perfect record, but man alive, it is, wow. That's a great way to put it, butter. You're 100% right. This album, the guitars, they're just butter.
Same thing with, like, Mailman and what are the... kind of the really rockers. What's the other one? 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July.
Like mud rock, but it's still kind of butter. Yeah. Like it still just kind of all mixes. It's a good mix.
It's just really good. Now, if I have to pick the song that I think is the worst, I'm going to pick the song that I think is a good punk song all around, but does not fit the record, doesn't belong on this record at all. It should have been on somebody else. They should have just given the song to an actual punk band and said, here you go.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Kickstand. So I will fully admit, I like the chorus. I like the breakdown at the end of the chorus. Like it's
rhythmic. It's still Soundgarden.
It's very rhythmic, but no, it doesn't fit. This is not Soundgarden.
They have some older songs. They kind of have a little faster. I mean, it is still grunge. It's typically a little slower, but I think it fits. This is Kim's song off the album, by the way, but musically. But I think it fits much more than two of the other songs.
No. No, I'm sorry.
Chairs
that's fine.
Thrown.
We can throw chairs.
This
I'm correct
awesome
on this
song.
One.
Kickstand
this
is awesome.
An awesome song. It's an awesome song for another band. Give this song to somebody else. This is not a Soundgarden song.
So I'll just have to jump.
Jump on in.
I'll just have to jump. So
the water's warm.
How is Half better than Kickstand?
Because it is.
It is not.
It is.
No, Half is the one song, if anybody's wondering, is Chris Cornell is not singing.
True.
So it's Ben on vocals. He wrote the song for the most part. It's cool. It's kind of got Middle Eastern vibes. It's kind of a little bit more acoustics, kind of more like what Down on the Upside will be in a few years. The bass leads
which is
it.
Why I kind of dig it.
But no, so the other songs, so these are the two that I would take off.
Okay.
Head Down, which is acoustic-y, but that's kind of more Down on the Upside. That's okay.
Yeah.
Head Down, track 6, and then track 14, though, is my pick for not the best Half. Okay. I think Kickstand is way better. Now, you say it doesn't fit. I don't think Half fits. Like, Half is kind of that.
I can see Half on the record, though. No. I cannot see Kickstand on this record and fitting in.
Like, they have kind of, let's say, the metal, the hard rock, the punk background. So, Kickstand fits more than kind of the, you know, other songs on this album kind of have a psychedelic vibe to it. But Half is a little too out there.
All right, fine, whatever. I mean, I'm right. You're wrong. The people out there will agree.
If Chris Cornell would have sung it,
all right, I'll
maybe.
Give...
Like, as I'm listening to it, I go, okay, song-wise, it still
the
sounds
song
like Soundgarden.
Cool.
It's kind of like, musically, it could have been in singles.
It could have been, totally.
Right. But Ben, the bass player, wrote it. But he's singing it. You kind of can't tell what's going on.
I'll give you that on the vocal
Kickstand side. Kickstand is so much better than
look,
this.
Okay, so again, Kickstand
wrong,
is
right,
a just, good song. You, it's just not for...
Just
I'm going to hurt you!
And we're back from the hospital. Ryan heard me and I heard him. We've got black eyes.
Oh.
We fell on black days. Going back to that, fell on black days. After, so to take a step back and we'll come back to fighting. an album that we will do in, I guess, next week.
Okay.
No, in a few weeks.
Few weeks.
A few weeks, I think. I think this album... is very literal. I mean, it has a song called Like Suicide, right?
Yeah.
But I like that the imagery is the message is here.
Yes.
And we know Chris Cornell, but Fell on Black Days, going back, I should have mentioned this before, and since I joked about it, like, you know what he's saying without saying it.
Yes.
There's an album, I think we're going to cover it next week, actually, that they just say it.
Yes.
And we'll come back to that. And when we talk about it, and I think they're very literal and a little too literal. And I appreciate that Soundgarden kind of hides it.
Yeah.
And so Fell on Black Days, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I kind of know what he's saying. Oh, wow.
I like to call it the maturity and immaturity of, you know, the lyrics there. And it'll make more sense next week when we talk about that band and that
other
that
album. So, yeah, we'll talk about that album next week.
We'll
leave that. Sorry to get ahead. But I did want to mention that since we were listening to these albums at the same time, I do appreciate Soundgarden for how they kind of, you know, maybe hide, kind of sneak in some of the talk about depression and just how life is. So Fell on Black Days. Anyways, that started with a joke, but that's something that I wanted to mention.
It's a good mention.
Well, we can keep fighting on the side. Everybody tell us half. You want to agree with my half that half is the worst song, right?
No, they'll agree that Kickstand is by far.
No.
Whatever. What's your best one then? Tell us your favorite pick,
yeah,
Jeremy.
Yeah, so I like kind of as you mentioned, Let Me Drown, Fell on Black Days, Mailman, Black Hole Sun, of course, Spoon Man, Limo Wreck, kind of
Led
Zeppelin-y.
Limo Wreck is cool, yeah.
Day I Tried to Live is also Led Zeppelin-y. Kickstand is always good.
That, thank you. I actually go back to that. The Day I Tried to Live, very Led Zeppelin-y.
Yeah.
That's a perfect explanation right there. Because I was thinking about it on the way over here. I was like, what would I compare that song
to?
Yeah,
and Limo Wreck.
Yeah,
it kind of has like a Black Dog type.
Yeah, they do.
Kind of that bluesy type thing. And I usually don't like that blues side of things. But I like it. Kickstand's really good. Fresh Tendrils, is really good. 4th of July. And then like Suicide's good. So if I had to take a couple songs off, I mean, I would take off. I'd never really liked My Wave. Maybe it's just me.
I like it.
It's okay. Like I think
the riff.
Since it's number two, like I think once it gets into it, it's okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think Let Me Drown is so good.
It is.
Then My
so
Wave,
good.
I'm like, half the time I just kind of skip.
Gotcha.
Mailman's good. Super Unknown is.
It's
the chorus is good, but it's
one of those where I think Super Unknown should have actually been left off the album. And, you know, you could still call it Super Unknown, kind of like, you know, Big Country's The Crossing and the color and the shape by the Foo Fighters.
So I would take off, again, My Wave, Super Unknown, Head Down, and Half. So that's what, 11? I would get to 11.
Okay.
Maybe 10, if I don't know what
it's called.
11. Make it 11. So the best song is tough. I think, like you said, Let Me Drown is a great opener. Black Hole Sun is a hit.
Great song.
This might be like when we did Hot Fuss. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Brightside on that. It's like, okay, that is
the song.
The song.
But
am I necessarily going to pick it? It's tough because as I listen to Black Hole Sun again, I'm like, it's really cool. And if you listen to the story, how they recorded it and the tones, it just sounds really good.
Yeah.
His voice. I've never listened on headphones, or it's been a while. And the extra vocals are going back and forth. So I would say it's right there. But I think the one, I'm just going to call it a game time decision right now.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my latest favorite because it's got a little bit of everything. It doesn't have it does have a cool time change in the middle. It's actually the one written by Matt Cameron. Track 12, Fresh Tendrils.
Really?
It's kind of a sleeper pick, I would say.
Wow.
It's got clavinet in it.
Yeah,
I did not
see that coming. Okay.
I think it's got cool bass, like in the chorus, it's got a little cool bass lines.
Okay.
The vocals also kind of start low. It's kind of like Fell on Black Days.
Yeah.
Starts low, he goes up high, and it's got that big chorus. So the reason why I'm kind of going with this one too, it kind of has a sound of old Soundgarden.
Okay.
Sound of old Soundgarden. That kind of sounds weird, but it's got the chorus sounds like it could have been on Bad Motorfinger.
Okay.
I think. It has like a it just kind of gives you the feels. So Fresh Tendrils. It's cool.
All right, so let's hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, that chorus just...
It's good.
It's good. I mean, they're all great, so it's tough. Really it's are. Like...
This is a really good record.
It's just a good album. It's tough. Really, I would pick Black Hole Sun probably just because of the other like singles on the radio. I don't know if anything really sounds like Black Hole Sun too.
No.
It's like...
it is a standalone.
It's like Mr. Brightside. It's exactly like that. So everybody knows that. And it's really cool if you listen to like... musically Black Hole Sun. Like I'm kind of changing my pick live, but okay. I'm gonna stick with Fresh Tendrils, but
because right, cool.
That's my most recent one. But Black Hole Sun, it's right up there. It's all great. It's all very rhythmically cool. It's stuff that I wish I played live and wrote, and you can just see on stage like yeah. It just has this like moxie to it, but it's also just like down to earth, and it's not like hair metal where it's yeah. Like got moxie and it's a little too moxie or a little too cocky, I guess, right? Like hair metal, but it's still kind of cool.
Yeah,
but this just has the moxie.
You get that look on your face when you're playing the guitar riff. Yeah. Like, meh.
But then this like Chris Cornell also seems like at the end of the show you can just like walk up to him and say, hey,
yeah,
cool show, and it'd be like, hey, yeah, cool, thanks. So I don't know, just Soundgarden, one of the coolest band names, coolest songs, coolest sound.
Let's just think back to the moment in singles where they're raising the volume of the car, like, oh. And he's just bouncing there like, yeah, it's cool. It's
yes,
cool.
In the spirit of Chris Cornell. Maybe that's what it is. You're just like, maybe from singles. But
cheers to Chris.
Yes, cheers. Coffee, cheers. Whatever beverage of your choice, cheers to Chris and Kim and Ben and Matt for coming up with this album. And
good record.
Yeah. Great record. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank
you. And we'll do some more Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, tell us how bad you think Ryan's pick was for this album for Kickstand, or how bad mine was. But I'm sure you'll agree with me. And which songs are great, or they're just all great?
If they have taste, they'll be agreeing with me.
And go look up any of the behind the scenes again with the producer, Michael Beinhorn. Really cool. He talks about it. He's really open about all the sounds they do. And yes, thanks. Yep. Thanks, Soundgarden.
Thank you, Soundgarden. And thank you to everybody out there for listening and sharing us with everybody you know. We really do appreciate it. Whenever you tell somebody about our podcast or share information about us, we really do appreciate it. We see it in the numbers, and we just thank you very, very much for that, all of our wonderful listeners out there. Just want to take a moment, again, just to let y'all know that y'all are awesome and cool, and we get suggestions from y'all, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and some have joined in the argument, as I've kind of thought of it recently, that we do appreciate that. You'll say, you're crazy.
Heck yeah.
I agree, whatever, and we'll just leave it at that. But it's good just because, you know, music is so close to our hearts that... you know, we're not trying to say we're right, but sometimes we do often agree, and then maybe that is a way to show that even from different backgrounds, it is amazing when you do agree.
Mm-hmm.
And just other times, just it's maybe the right place in the right time. You have a memory from something. So, we appreciate all the kind words and even the not so kind words just because it is called The Album Argument.
Exactly. All right. Again, thank you very much. Check us out at thealbumargument.com, where you can find all information on us, our episodes, and our Spotify playlist that Jeremy puts together for us.
Support all these bands, Soundgarden included.
Yes,
go
please.
Play them, stream them, download, buy, purchase the music.
Yeah, I don't
think
we said that in the last episode, but yeah, please go support Dashboard Confessional as well if you listened to last week. And go download all their music as well. But yeah, thank you very much out there.
Yeah, so that's the Spotify playlist or any streaming service of your own. You know, we have ours, and we try to support them as much as possible.
Yep.
And we have a long, 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 long list of every album, 70 some odd episodes in, and it's getting quite long, but it's worth
it. A couple thousand songs.
Yeah,
there,
that's pretty
right?
cool.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
Deuces. We are out.